singing this morning. Wow. Do you believe he can do it again?
I do.
How many of you are waiting for him to do it again in your life? Oh, I am. I am. You know, there's a mechanic that was called to the roadside for a stranded motorist that didn't know what was going on with the car. So the mechanic arrived on the scene, found the car, looked it over, and found the problem. The problem, he said to the driver, is that you're out of gas. Simple. The motorist was trying to think of ways to get home, and so the motorist turned to the mechanic and said, do you think it'd be okay if I drove the car home on an empty tank of gas? And I read that this week, and as my mind works, I don't know about yours, I thought about that, and I thought, how many times do I get up in the morning, get in my car, put it in reverse, try to get out of the driveway on an empty tank of gas? I do it all the time, and I'll explain that. How many times in my life, personally, I try to get my life going in the morning on an empty tank of gas, thinking that I can make it through the day. Amen. Without no gas. Can't do it. But how many times do we try to do that? It's a funny story, but you know, it hits home, is that we can't do it either. You know, we hear about it, we talk about it, we wish we had more of it in our lives. And I'm not talking about gas. I realize when I look through the scriptures and you come across the three names that are given to God and exclusively to God only, and these three words are found in your dictionary, and they're only ascribed to God, and that is omnipotent, omniscience, and omnipresent. Those three belong to Him only. And if it wasn't for God, those three words will never be found in your dictionary. Do you believe that? You can Google it. So God's exclusive right to all three of these words are for His. So before you even start your day, and before you get your car, your personal life in reverse, and head out the driveway in the morning, we have the complete assurance from God Almighty that wherever we go that day, that He is with us, because He's already been there. And that is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. You could be assured of that this morning. And then the second word is this: not only will He be there, He knows exactly what's going to happen when you get there. Why? Because He's already been there, and that's omniscient. He knows what's going to happen in your life. So He's been there. He knows what's going on in your life. And then the third word is what I want to talk about this morning, is not only will He be there, and not only does He know everything once you get there, He actually has the power to help you through whatever it is that you're going to face there, and that's omnipotent. He is all-powerful God. Yes. We have to understand that if we want Him to do it again in our lives. So once again, God stands completely alone in this category when it comes to possessing all-powerful God, to do anything and everything and to know anything there is to know that can possibly be done in your life and in mine. Amen. Satan wishes that power belonged to him. Amen. But the cold, hard fact reality is that he does not have that power. Amen. Only God has the right to all that power. That being said, you have to recognize that Satan is very powerful, and you cannot play around with him on that. But compared to God's almighty power, Satan does not even exist in the same galaxy as God does. Amen. He is all powerful. So today's message, I want to help you this morning. It strikes at the very hard core of that we all want in life, and that is more strength, more power, to live the Christian life that He has called us to live. Would it be okay to drive our bodies on a tank of gas that's empty? You can't do it, but we so often try to live our lives without the power of God in our lives. The powerless that many of us feel today, you feel so empty, you feel so powerless, you struggle and trying to find the answers just to make it through another day. So that's why I want to talk, what does that really mean? What does that mean to us as Christians? Where do you and I get that power that is available to us in this crazy world in which we live, when just nauseating things happen to Christians every day, and all these questions that bombard us? How are we going to make it in this world with all these constant struggles that we face every day? How do we do that? Where do we get that power? Where do you and I get the power to keep on going, to find that strength and that energy? I like what Peter says in 2 Peter, found in verse 3 of chapter 1, he tells us this, that according to God's, his divine power, He has given to us, now check this out, He has given to you this morning things that pertain to life, that's every day, and godliness to live it. He has given you everything. So where do you and I keep the power to keep going? Well, I want you to understand this. I do not know this morning what it is that has held you in the past. And I don't know about your life this morning, what it is that will hold you in the future. I have no answer for you on that. But I do not know how you're going to get through your life right now in the present, except for the power of God. So how do we access that power of God? But I can tell you this with all confidence this morning, as you're sitting here on this 3rd of October already, that God has your answer for you this morning. That is the good news. You can leave here this morning knowing that God's got your back. He has given you your answer. Do you realize over 2,000 years ago, before you were even born or thought of, that God wrote down His answer for your life in this book? He's got the answer for you this morning. It's here in the Bible. So we look at this. He's given you the word and everything, and then He says, I will be able to do it because I'm omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-powerful. God can help you where you are. The reality is, and you're thinking, well, why did I come to church this morning? Here's your answer. God never promised that life would be easy. Yeah. How's that? He never promises that. Pain and sin are everywhere. They're just not located here in Orange County or California or other countries. It's right here where you and I live every day in our lives. So today's message is that you don't have to live powerless lives. You can have the power that God has promised to us. And you don't have to look for other sources. So many people that I work with daily, even yesterday, they're looking for answers. They're looking for how do you make it through another day? Where is the source? And they're naming all these things that they're trying to follow. And God said, I wrote it here, the answer for you this morning. God says, I want you to have my power. I want to revive you. I want to give you that strength. 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So I want you to remember this as we go through the sermon this morning, that every need, every deep need that you ever have in this life and to live, God answered it with His name. Do you realize there's so many different names in the Bible that God has given to Himself to relate to a need that you have in your life? And one of the names that comes out to me is El Shaddai, which means what? God is all-powerful. Can you say El Shaddai? El Shaddai. So when you have an issue this week, I want you to remember El Shaddai, and that means your God, your personal God, will give you the power to make it through whatever you're facing this day. God knew that we would have need for power and need for His power to help us. And I like what other people said about Him. It's going to be on the screens here. It's found in Psalm 68:35. Psalm 68:35 says this, O God, You are more awesome than Your holy places. The God of Israel is He who gives strength and power to whom? His people. If you have a Bible, I would look that up and I would underline it, or I would circle those two words. He gives strength and power to His people, and it says, blessed be God. I'd underline that in my Bible, and we know that God is all-powerful. You can just step outside in this world, this playground that God has given to us to live, this earth, and you can see the handiwork of God, that He is all-powerful. So the question is this. Is God's power available to me? You talk about it, and if so, the follow-up question, how do I get it? How do I access God's power? So we look at these the questions we look at, and my answer to you is yes, you can have God's power. Yes, God's power is accessible to everybody in this room. It says it is to His people that can have power. But before we talk about it and how to access it, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. I'm going to answer how you can access God's power next Sunday. Got to come back. I'm going to give you the three ways you can access God's power next Sunday. This morning, I want to paint a picture, the good picture, about four promises, how you can expect God's power when you need it. So these are my four points for you this morning, is I can count on God's power. Number one is when I am tired. When I am tired, you can count on God's power when you're tired. Remember, I don't want to get so spiritual and lofty with you. We're human beings. We get tired. We get exhausted. We're not made to run 24/7 every day of the week. We can't do it. So I can guarantee you this morning, you can get God's power when you are tired. I can see it in your faces this morning. I can look in your calendar. How do I know that? Because you live in Orange County. This place is nonstop. Go here, go there, go everywhere. We are tired. We believe the slogan, go out and get and achieve everything you can. And now that we've got it, we're too tired to enjoy it. And somebody said our motto should be this, why stop and smell the roses when you can just plow right through them? We don't take time to enjoy what God has done. So we can just change our names to tired. We are tired human beings. We've been going and going and going this year, haven't we? Every time you turn on the news, something's changing. You can't go here, you can't go here, you can't do this, you can't do this, you have to have this, you can't have, and you're just getting, oh my gosh, will this ever come to an end? All these questions, all these things that are demanded of my life, will things ever get back to normal? Probably not. So we're tired of trying to figure out life. So God knows that. So he will give you his power when you're tired. Obviously, there are some things that you and I can do to slow down our pace in life. I like this verse. It says what? Be still. Did God say, go run around and know that I'm God? He said, no, be still and know that I'm God. I work at Disneyland. I was at a restaurant last night as I'm working, and I won't say her name, but we'll say Sally, standing up, sitting down, honor chair, offer chair. The parents finally, Sally, would you just sit down? And I'm thinking, my gosh, that's my sermon tomorrow. Drew, be still. Just sit down. Relax. Let me take it. Be still and know that I'm God. There's things that you could do in your life to slow yourself down. A pastor friend of mine said this, we are a microwave people in conflict with a marinating God. Isn't that so true in your life, in my life? So in the midst of this, God makes us a promise. I found this, and you know this verse, these verses in Isaiah 40. He said, hast thou not known? Haven't you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator, the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those that wait, those that are still long enough, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew or revive their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Some of you thinking, yeah, I'd like to run. Well, you know, wait a second, I just like to walk. I get so tired, God, can I just walk and not faint at all? So those who trust in the Lord will find their strength in him. They will get revived. They will get his power when they are tired and worn out. I know some of us need to just memorize that verse this week. I don't know, put it on your toothbrush. So every time you pick it up, it's there. Shave it on the side of your dog. I will wait on God. I don't know, wherever you want to put it. I was going to say a tattoo, but you put a tattoo on. Just wait on God. Be still and know that he is God in your life. God's power is unlimited in your life. God's power never gets exhausted, never gets tired, never gets weary this morning. He never goes to bed. He has unlimited energy. He created the whole universe, and he stopped and he pulled back and said, now what? I've done that. I have more power to go on. So wouldn't you like to tap into that kind of power? Come back next week and I'll show you how you can access that. Number two is, when else can I count on God's power? Is when I have nothing to offer him. That's when I can count on God's power. You know, this could be, I was thinking this week, this could be in a relational issue with some of us, that I don't have anything left in my relationship to give. I have nothing else to offer. Or it could be with your children as you're raising them. I just don't know what he or she wants from me. I just don't know what else to offer. I've run out of options. I don't know what to do. It could be with your job. You just get frustrated at your job. It's just overtaken you. God says, I will give you the power to go through whatever it is that you're going through. And I have in my notes that God's power, and for me, is for the inadequate. You ever feel inadequate in life? You just can't do it anymore. I just don't feel like it. God said, that's a great position to be. That's a weak position to be. Because he says this in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he says to me, my grace is sufficient where? In your inadequacies. My grace is sufficient, what? In your weakness. I want you to be weak. Because guess what? When I think I have it all together and I pull out my driveway thinking I'm strong enough to make it and I got an empty tank of gas, I'm going to crash. I'm going to fail. Why? Because I'm not trusting in him. So he says in the 2 Corinthians, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that, listen to what Paul's saying, that the power of God can rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distress for what? Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, because then I know that he is strong in my life. I love what Paul also says. Now that I gladly boast about how weak I am, I'm glad to be living demonstration of Christ's power in my life instead of showing off my powers and my abilities. So God makes you a promise this morning. His promise is this: when you feel inadequate, when you feel weak this morning, when you have nothing else to offer anybody else, he wants to just invade your life with his power that you can do it. You've got to come to that realization that you have nothing else to offer. Do you want to tap into that kind of power this morning? When you're frustrated, I do. The third thought is this, is when I'm in pain. When I'm in pain, that's when God's power shows up in my life. Some pain is very real in this morning in a lot of our lives. Ask Pastor Martin. He's in a lot of pain. He's recovering. Thank God for that. We're all experiencing just different lists of pain. So I thought about the pain that is evident not only here at our church, but in the area of my life where God has put people in my life. And so I wrote a list this week. Does any of these identify with you this morning? Some might be in pain in this room, in bodily pain. You're hurting physically. Some affliction that you've been called to live with for a while that you have. And it looks like when you wake up tomorrow morning, it's still going to be there. That affliction. And we're tired of it. That's pain. And that's what Paul was talking about. But he said, my grace is sufficient in my weakness. Some of us here this morning are less than thrilled with our work situation. It gets frustrating. We're just pulling out our hair. We're aggravated. And we're thinking, tomorrow morning, the 4th of October, we wake up, it's going to be different. And we get to work on Monday, and it's the same. Nothing has changed, and we're frustrated once again going through another work at week. That is pain, and that is hard to deal with. I get it. How about the loss of a loved one this past year? That's pain that some of you are going through. How about friendships that have been frustrating, that have dissolved over this last year? That's truly pain in your life. How about financial pressures, just trying to make it? Pay the bills. Stay just one day ahead, one paycheck ahead. I get it. That's hard. That's real pain for many of us. Some of us as parents, raising our kids, watching them, making decisions that are just ruining their lives. One bad decision after another, and you want to know when are they going to make a right decision finally. Amen. To get back on track. For you parents, that's pain. That's real pain. And I feel for you. It's unbearable. There's no shortage, and the list can go on and on. I've listed, can go on, and there's no shortage of pain in this room and in the world in which God has allowed you to live in. So you and I, we're not immune from this. We do have pain in our lives. We have to admit that. It's inevitable that you and I will experience even more pain between now and the end of the year. It's possible, heartbreaking pain that will come from places we never expected it will come. But let me give you some hope. There's people in this room this morning that have been down that valley of pain in their lives. And they would say, as a testimony to the rest of you that are going through that, they would say this, as they walk through the darkest valleys, that if it wasn't for the grace of God and his power, they would have never made it to the other side. Amen. In one piece. But they have. That's the power of God working in your life. So where do you go with this pain? That God promises you power in the midst of your pain. Psalm 41:3, it says, the Lord will strengthen him on the bed of languishing. It says God will even make the bed for the person that's tired and weak and in pain. For the Christian, God's power doesn't just pacify us, just to get us from one place to another. You know what it is for us Christians? God's power invades your life. It comes in to strengthen your life, to fill up that gas tank so you can pull out of that driveway on full with His power each and every morning. Wouldn't you like that kind of power in your life? Come back next week and I'll show you how you can access it. And number four this morning, if you're taking notes, it's when I'm tempted. I can count on God's power when I am tempted. And one of the reasons some people this morning are in pain is because they have not learned to say no to temptation. When Satan's on their heels, they cannot say no. Listen to Romans 7:18. Paul understood this. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Man, can anybody relate to Paul? I try to do good and I just can't do it. I find temptation. It's hard to say no, but I want you to do this. But he said, I have the power of Christ dwelling in me that can help me say no to temptation this morning. That's where the power of God will come. I saw this bumper sticker a while ago and I wrote it down. It's been in my notes for a while. It says this: lead us not into temptation. I'm perfectly capable of finding it on my own. Isn't that true? I don't need any help. I can go right to it. But the answer is, can I say no? You can, with the power of God. I surely can relate to that. Temptation is inevitable. It's going to come to you. It's going to come when you're least expecting it. But the good news is God says He will not let you be tempted above that you are able, that He will give you the power to say no in your life. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, let me say this to you. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. It says, but God is faithful. That's why I asked you at the beginning of the sermon, do you think He can do it again? We sang about it. We raised our hands. We believed in it. We sang from our hearts. Do you believe that He can do it again? Because God is faithful. He will never let you down. So after church this morning, as we were singing the song, come up to me after church, and I just want to hear one person come up to me and give me an example where God has let you down. I challenge you. You know what? He's faithful. The scripture says He will never let you down. He's got your back. It says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The promise is, there's always a way out. But the question is to Drew is, do I take it? No. Sometimes I don't take the way out, but God promises there's a way out of that temptation. God wants you to give that power to you to escape the temptation. Do you realize that it is available to you? Do you want to access that power to say no to temptation? Come back next week, and I'll show you how to answer that. That's the good news today. Do you have your Bibles with you? I'm going to close with a scripture. It's found in Ephesians 3:20. So as I'm closing, I want you to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn there. I know as you're turning there, some of you are thinking this morning, Drew, God may give you that power. You're a pastor. You're the campus pastor here. They'll give it to Pastor Rich. He's our senior pastor. Pastor Martin, Pastor Don, the leadership. Yes, I have no problem. God's going to give it to you. But the fact is, I don't think He works that way in my life. Oh, yes, He does. If you're a born-again Christian, it doesn't matter. He will give you that same power that He gives to anybody. And you might say, I'm just an average Christian. God can't do that in my life. I love God and everything. I truly do, you might say. I try to do my best. I try not to get fatigued or tired, or I try to find a way out of my temptations. But I got to tell you, I don't know what I'm doing. My kids are out of control. They're making one mistake after another. My heart is broken. And your list can go on and on why you don't think God can have that power in your life as well. And you might think, God, He's not answered my prayers. It's been weeks. It's been months. And God seems so distant that He's not answering my prayers. And you say, if God could do such wonderful things through His people back then, and you think, and that's back then, 2,000 years ago. If God can do it then, why can't He do it today? And the answer, He can do it today. Yeah. He can do it in your life again. So, how would Pastor Drew respond to you if you're feeling that way this morning? The fact is, there is nothing in the Bible that suggests to me that God has quit working. There's nothing in here that says God has stopped. It says in here that God is faithful. He will continue to give you the power that you need. And that's why Jesus said in John 15:5, "For without me, you can't do anything." And I think that's our problem, is we try to do everything without him. So I want to direct you to Ephesians 3:20. Do you have it there? I've given you a few moments to open up your Bible to Ephesians 3:20. Just one verse. This verse to me is the overtop verse in the New Testament. It is so over the top. Listen to this as I go through it. Are you reading along with me? Go down to verse 20 of chapter 3. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Isn't that an over-the-top verse to you? Yes. Let me break it down for you. Follow along with me. Go back to your Bibles. I want you to look at this. Notice that Paul says here, and I'm going to close with this, it's not that God might be able to do what we ask, but it says what? God is able to do what we ask, but not just able to do some things that we ask. What's the verse say? He's able to do what? All things that we ask. And catch this. Not just all things that we ask, but what? Above all things that you could ever ask. And not just above all things that you could ever ask, but what? Abundantly above all that you could ever ask. And get this. Not just abundantly above all that you could ask, but what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask. And not just exceedingly, read the verse with me, abundantly above all that we can ask, but exceedingly abundantly that we call ask or what? Think. You ever just daydream and think what it would be if God did this? What it would be if God did that? And you just, your imagination just goes wild. And God says, I got you on that. It's done. I can do it exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or what? Your mind could even be creative enough to think about, I can do it for you. That's what this verse talks about this morning. That's the power of God that he wants to give you this morning. Wow. You talk about an over-the-top verse in the Bible that God actually makes it to have available to us the power. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Well, good. I'm glad you asked. You know why? It actually goes on further than that. Go back to your Bible. It says more over the top. Notice the rest of the verse that says that God does this not only out of the power that works in us, but what? According to the power that works with you. We said, what is the difference between out of and according to? So let me break it down simply this way. God says, if our God obviously owns everything, and he were this morning, take out his checkbook and write you a check out of his bank account, that would be one thing. So say you have $1,000 in your checking account, and you wrote out a check to anybody you wanted to, that would be out of that thousand. So if I wrote out $900, what would be left? 100. That's written out of his bank account. But God did not do that. Listen to what God says. He says this, I wrote you a check according to his bank account. So do you understand the difference between out of and according to? It's a monumental big difference. Because the point is this, God's power, God's bank account is infinite. So if he had $1,000 and he wrote you a check for $1,000, he would still have $1,000. You cannot drain God's bank account. You can't do it. He's got so much power available to you and to me this morning to face anything you want. And we're going to show you next week how you can tap into it, how you can have access to his power. It's completely limitless this morning. His power is unending, unfathomable, and inexhaustible. That's the power of God for you today, this morning. That you can have that power. So the bottom line to these four promises this morning that I gave you is when you're burned out and you're tired, God says, I want to give you some power. When you are in the midst of feeling inadequate in your life and you feel weak, he said, I want to give you some power. I want to give you my power that you can handle any devastating hurt that you're going through right now. I will be with you through that hurt. He says, when you feel like you're tempted beyond what you can imagine or can control, he says, I will give you power and a way to escape. It's yours. So this morning, may we just relieve ourselves of that pressure of trying to stay strong within ourselves, trying to get in that car in the morning in our life, put it in reverse, and trying to go on empty. You don't have to. God wants to fill your tank. God wants to fill your life with His power and relying on Him. Perhaps the four simplest words are found in Galatians 2:20. Not I, but Christ.
Amen.
Not I, but Christ. So those are the four ways when you need power, that's when they'll show up. Next Sunday, I want to show you how you can personally access that power so you can have it today. So come back next week and hear that. Will you please stand with me as we close this morning? I want to thank you for coming. And if you're like me, we get worn out. We just want to take a breath. We get tired. But thanks be to God, He's given us that power to make it another day.
Amen.
To rely on His strength. So as we close this morning, if that's you, I just want to simply bow your heads. Can I pray for you? And Father, love you this morning. As Christians, I know so many of us, we're just worn out physically, let alone spiritually. We're tired. We have so much going on in our lives. We just need to be still. Be still and spend time with you and know that you are God, that you have that power that's available to us in all circumstances of life. One of those three words in the dictionary is you're omnipotent, you're all-powerful, El Shaddai, and we thank you for that. And next week, we want to come back to learn how we can access, take a hold of that power that you have promised to us in our lives. Forgive us for trying to live this life within our own strength, within our own power, God. It's wrong. I ask for forgiveness in my life for trying to do things without you. As Galatians 2:20 said, not I, but Christ who lives within me. We thank you for that power that's available to every person here this morning. We thank you for Pastor Martin. We thank you for his road to recovery. What an awesome answer to prayer. And for those that are hurting and pain this morning, whether it be loss of a loved one, loss of friendship, loss of the kids just making just irrational decisions, our bank account is dwindling, we're frustrated, we're just on the verge of just exploding inside at the next person that comes and crosses us up. God, give us patience to deal with each other, to encourage one another. And God, that's why I'm so thankful that we have church, that we can come this morning and encourage one another on this road of life that is so difficult sometimes, that we can pray for one another and love one another. That's what church is all about. And we love you for that. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.